Your Bible, second reading to the third chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, Fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand, and thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them, 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, beside unwalled towns, a great many. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side Jordan, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidonians call Syrian, and the Amorites call it Shanir. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salcah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron, is it not, in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it after the cubit of a man. And this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead, and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of the giants. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coasts of Geshuri and Ma'akathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havoth Jair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Machir, and unto the Reubenites, and unto the Gadites. I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also in Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Kinnereth, even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah, eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you, until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan, and then shall ye return every man unto his possession which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we covered part of this last week as we were speaking through this Transjordanic establishment on the eastern side of the River Jordan. They came up from the south and they passed by Seir and Esau. They passed by the children of Lot. And then they went and they made war with Sihon and then with Og, all the way up that northern edge of the Jordan Valley there, that northeastern side, all the way up to the Sea of Galilee. Remember how the Jordan Valley looks. At the north head of it, you have the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Sea of Galilee. It's a very, very large lake. And from the Sea of Galilee, there is an outlet, a river that runs out of it, the River Jordan. And that runs south as a ribbon of a great and beautiful, well-watered land until it gets down to a place of judgment. And it was always known as that place of judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah down there in that lowest of the low parts down there at the southern end of the Jordan Valley, where it is nothing but salt towers. It is a very, very inhospitable land. But that northern area, and as it heads toward the south before it gets to the Dead Sea, well-watered, beautiful land. Mountains all around, hills. In the United States of America, we think of mountains. We think of, Pikes Peak, Mount McKinley, even in Alaska, the Sierras, the Rockies. It's not mountains like that, obviously. But there are mountains, more like the mountains that we have out in the eastern edge of our country, in that, 2,000, 2,500-foot range, that rise up over those valleys. And it is a beautiful, well-watered land. And it was a land good for cattle, as we heard in this chapter. And so as they came out, the Lord said, You'll not get Seir. I've promised that to Esau and his descendants. You won't get that. You won't get the land of the Ammonites. I promised that to Lot and to his sons. So you won't get that either. The implication is what? When I promise a people a land, they will possess it. But then they get up to Sihon. And Sihon comes out against them, and the Lord says, I haven't made any promises to him. So you take that land. And then in this chapter, here we are then in the northern section above the river Arnon and Jabbok, which feed into the Jordan Valley from the east. And here we have Og. And who is Og? You see, Og, we have saved the best for last, haven't we? Because he's the last of the remnants of the giants. He's probably, at least in my opinion, the largest man to be described in Scripture. Bigger than Goliath. Bigger than the Anakim. He had a bed that was 14 feet long and 6 feet wide that he slept on by himself. It was not a double bed. It would not be an exaggeration, I think, to think of Og as a 9 or 10 foot tall man, somewhere in weight around 600 or 800 pounds. Truly a giant. That would not be an exaggeration, at least in my opinion. And why do we save him for last? What did the children of Israel say when they came to Kadesh Barnea and failed? There's giants in the land. And so here we have in Og, the conquering of the biggest of the giants as the last thing that they do in warfare before they cross over into the land of promise. How encouraging. What a wonderful encouragement to the weakness of the people whose parents had said, "We cannot go into that land because there are giants there." The Lord gave them the giants and all of their land, Sihon and Og, and saved the biggest one for last, so that they might know that the promises of God are not hindered by giants. What a great encouragement then to the people of God. It is similar to some of those promises that we see in the New Testament, and I know people get themselves wound up about this, but we'll look at one today, Lord willing, in Luke chapter 17, where the Lord says, "I want you to forgive like this." And the disciples say, "Increase our faith." And the Lord says, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you'd say to the sycamore tree, 'Be cast into the sea.'" No matter how deeply that unforgiveness is rooted into your hearts, it can be pulled up by faith. And so here we see the Lord supporting the weak faith of His dear children. And the Lord would do the same for us in this day. There are no giants. There are no trees. There are no mountains that can stand in the way of the Lord and His promises. So then, that's the first section of the chapter. That's verses 1 through 20. Along with the division of the land. And then in 21 through the end of the chapter, well, I don't know about you, but this is one of those, well, it's very affecting. It's a very affecting passage. So we have Moses being that faithful soldier, that dutiful leader, and so he commands Joshua. He gives Joshua everything that he needs. He tells Joshua, according to the word of the Lord, "Joshua, you're going to lead this people into the land, and you shall not fear them. Remember what God has done for us on this side, Jordan, and take that with you. Take that courage with you when you cross over Jordan into the land of promise, and remember that the Lord will fight for you. Be courageous, Joshua." And so that's what verses 21 and 22 and 21 and 22 have to say. Then in 23, we have what was at one time a private conference between Moses and the Lord, but in this sermon here in chapter 3 is now made public to the rest of the people of God. There was a private conference that Moses held with the Lord, and notice how he starts out. "O Lord, Thou hast begun to show Thy greatness and Thy glory. Lord, we have passed by the lands of Seir and Ammon without molestation. Thou hast protected us from them, but not only that, Thou hast led us safely into the land of Sihon and Og, and we have conquered them. And this is but the first fruits of what Thou wilt do in the land of Canaan. Thou hast begun to show Thy greatness and Thy glory, and my desire above everything else. Like I told you in Exodus 31, I want to see above everything else Your glory. So, Lord, please take me into the land of Canaan. I've begun to see Your glory. Let me see it through to its finish." Isn't that a great request? Moses reveals his heart here, doesn't he? It's that same heart that we saw in Exodus 31. And now here it is. "Let me see Thy glory in that Thou wilt indeed drive out our enemy from Canaan." And the Lord says, "No. No." It's amazing, isn't it? The Lord says, "No." The Lord says, "Let this suffice thee. instead. Go to the top of Pisgah. Look north and south and east and west. Look over all of that land and see it. And see how great it is. And know that indeed my greatness and my glory will give that land to all of my people. Every inch of it. But know also that Moses, because of what you did at Meribah, you cannot go over with the children of Israel and possess that land. They must understand my anger. They must understand my problem with sin, and especially the sins of leaders. And so, in a moment's difficulty, Moses lost that opportunity. But it was indeed the desire of his heart to continue. But what does the Lord say? Brothers and sisters, remember this phrase. If you don't get anything else from this reading, remember this phrase. Let it suffice me. Be content with this. We may not get everything that we want. Even those most pure and wondrous desires that we have. Are you yet reminded? I think maybe some of you are. I am reminded of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he had a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, and three times he besought the Lord that it would depart from him. And what did the Lord say? Can I paraphrase? Let it suffice thee. Let it suffice thee. The answer, Moses, the short answer is no. My power is perfected in weakness. So what does Paul say? Well then, I will glory in my infirmities. It will suffice me. So we see the great heart of Moses here. The great heart, desiring to go into the land, not for himself, but because of that same desire that he had at the base of Sinai in Exodus 31, to behold the glory of God. And yet in this instance, the Lord said no. Because he must continue to serve in that capacity as a public person, as an example of God's anger, his displeasure against sin. Thus ends the reading then of Deuteronomy chapter 3. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.